Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Moors to Moorish Talk Live 100. We have a part two of our broadcast that we did the other day on how to get your loved ones out of jails and prisons inside the United States. But today we're going to come to you with an entirely different perspective, a perspective on priority. There's a lot of things that we have, as Moors, have to understand. Most of us are so busy being wrapped up in our individual concerns that we don't look at ourselves collectively. And we're going to deal with that this evening. We have a special guest with us, the Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American Government. He will be speaking with us this evening. And he is the author of the two very, very powerful books, the Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, as well as the Book of Ali. And he also hosts the national conference call for the Moorish American government. It is very important for us to dial into these broadcasts. They're 7 days a week, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it is a gathering place for Moors from all over the United States. You get a chance to hear from your brothers all and sisters and children all over the United States during these time periods. And the way to access that national conference call is simply by dialing the number 760-569-7100. And the access code is 437-966, and you press the pound key. That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 760-569-7100. The access code is 437-966 pound. Now, we made a few changes for those of you who, if you listen to this broadcast for the very first time, we have our regular articles that we offer you that is very, very important because it gives you some insight on the, what has happened in the past and what is going on inside the United States today. You can contact me at area code 904-303-9061 Eastern Standard Time before 7 p.m. And we'll get that those articles to you. That's the 14th Amendment Exposed as well as the Commerce Game. And we also have one of the greatest libraries inside the United States for people of African descent. And there are tons and tons of information in there. You can contact me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get that to you. Okay? We also have access to the entire set of Black's Law Dictionary. Volumes 1 through 9 is available. We also have Bloomberry, Ballantyne's Law, Third Edition, Oxford, and the Essentials all in one. And you'll get that simply by contacting me at the number that I previously gave you, 904-303-9061. Well, we're going to go ahead on and dive on into this broadcast, and I'm going to bring my guests in. Area code 434, Grand National Chairman, are you with us?
Peace and blessings. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you loud and clear, sir.
Great, great.
Okay.
Well, we're here. Let's get it on, man.
All right. Well, before we do, I'm going to give honors and praise to the great God and praises to him for us being even able to come in to our own in these days and to be able to get here and come together on this network. And I would like to say give all praises and all thanks to Allah and Islam. Okay. Now, Grand National Chairman, I want you to know I really enjoyed myself on the National Conference call, and I think you did a wonderful job. And I'm really hoping and praying that you could deliver some of the same message here for us this evening so that we can get it. We're going to be dealing with what all Moors, Coloreds, Negroes, Black, African American, Afro-American, whatever it is that you consider yourself to be out there today, what we must understand as Moors. And that is a broad subject because there are a lot of priorities that we need to get into perspective. And I want to make sure that we get that question addressed. And also, if we can touch on about our priorities and about that birth certificate and ancient African descendants out of the United States and what priorities we put first and in regards to our loved ones and what our loved ones across the country that are of African descent all have in common that are behind the prison bars and walls. So if you would, could you give us a breakdown on that? Because you got the flow this evening, brother, and I know you got a message for us, and we want you to go ahead and let us have it.
Well, all right. So let me begin also by giving praises to the Most High, and I extend honor to the last prophet in these days and time, Noble Dwali, as well as all the prophets who came before him. And we also must extend honor to the work that's being performed here and now by those of us who are sincere of heart and who have the courage to stand forth for the truth. Because without the truth, you'll not be free. It's just that simple. And I also want to extend honor to you, too, Brother Tahaka Alde, because we have you've done a tremendous amount of work in uplifting our people. And so we want to encourage you to continue on this special strife. But in regards to your subject matter, whether our people are concerned that's on in the prison system, as all things, we Moors, we always look to the law because we know that law is what governs all events. And when it comes down to the prison system, which the United States has the largest prison system of any country on earth. And the reason why it has it like that because it's really a business. It's disguised under the pretense of locking people up or this kind of thing. But basically it's business because the United States, by being a corporation, it's all about business. It's all about commerce. And so this particular aspect is handled under its legacy of the judicial system. And so being we as a people have fallen victim of this particular circumstance. But what happened in 1865 when the Congress of the United States abolished slavery, they made an exception in the 13th Amendment. And they made that exception was that slavery was to be abolished in its entirety, except for those who are duly convicted of a crime. And this was an extension or the very foundation of the prison system which you now have that's in full force. So when you look at the very beginning of that, that abolishment, when you abolish things legally, then that means that you get rid of it in its entirety, all of its components. So that means you not only got rid of the institution of slavery, but you also got rid of the slaves, the slave masters, and more importantly, here you got rid of the slave names. And the names that was given to the those who was forced into slavery, especially the Moors from the northwest, southwestern shores of Africa, was Negro, Black, Colored, Ethiopian, and whatever other name they wanted to put on you after that. And this is something to pay close attention to, because when they abolished slavery, all that went out the window also. The slave names particularly also was abolished. And except for those who were duly convicted of a crime. You can call them any kind of way you want to. Primarily they would give you a number instead of a name, but that's just superficial. The name still stood because they would place it under the auspices of the word felon or convict once you have been convicted. And once you do that, then the entire institution of slavery was now reopened according to the Constitution or the Congressional Committee of the United States Government. And but what happened, although they abolished slavery, what seemed to be in its entirety, 3 years later, before our people could wake up, they brought back slavery under another name under the 14th Amendment. And they exercised the lawful word person, but they changed the attributes of the word person to mean commercial property.
Okay.
Well, this right here was a violation of the universal law when there has been clearly 400 years set aside for those who have been violating, or should I say sinning, or committing sins against the great universal order of the Creator. And so the way the Creator punishes children is put them into slavery for about 400 years. And so once this has been declared out, then that period of time is over with, then slavery should be ended and the people should be set free to go and to honor and to serve their Creator. This did not happen. In fact, the United States itself placed itself in place of the great God in 1868 and brought back the institution of slavery in its entirety under another name, under the word person or commercial property. And it reads similar to this, that all persons, meaning commercial property, all commercial property that's now born or naturalized, of course you can't be naturalized if you're not a citizen already, or born and naturalized and subject to the jurisdiction, then this means the laws of the land, the laws of the United States, then you could be considered as a citizen. And but this was actually, the 14th Amendment was really a big cover-up between the two Masonic orders of the North and the South, or the Scottish and York Rite orders, so that they, in turn, could still reap the benefits of the institution of slavery. You got to bear in mind that the United States has never been without its slaves. It wouldn't know what to do without having its commerce and property available and to make it run as a corporation, or even as a government. The United States never knew what it was like to be without slaves. And so what they did when the Universal Order went against them, they lost their sovereignty, and by 1871, they had returned to being a corporation just like they were during the time of the colonies. And a corporation cannot have citizens. So the only thing that a corporation can run, if you will be those personage or properties that has been assigned to it. But the head of the corporation is the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., the president's house, okay? So being the head of the corporation, they were in charge of all the slaves. But at this time, the slaves were not just confined to the Moorish people of the Moorish descent, but also every citizen or every person throughout the United States, period. Everybody now was subject to the institution of slavery by the birth certificate. Now, the birth certificate itself certified by the state in which they were born, certified a particular live birth person as property of the corporation, being owned by the corporation. And it was later verified even by marriage licenses or driver's licenses, social security cards, et cetera. All these are just verification that you were actually owned by the corporation. So you don't, in the corporation, you don't have fathers and mothers. You have guardians. You don't have sons and daughters. You have wards of the state. You don't have citizens. Basically, what you have is slaves. And as a result of that, when you convict a person, especially of those of Moorish descent, then that's almost like the institution of slavery being doubled. You know, you're a slave, and now you're an extra slave. Okay, so what we have at the disposal of that, if you want to get your people out of the various prison systems, you got to first realize that what you're dealing with as far as the prison system is concerned, that you're dealing with a corporation, number one, as opposed to a government. Although the corporation has its own government, but it's still not a sovereign government. It's, in fact, the United States is the only country on the planet that is set up as purely as a corporation and nothing more. Now, it's got other entities extended from it that has tried to lend itself into corporate statuses, but it doesn't work. As close as the islands, Jamaica or Cuba, what have you, they still have nationals, so they cannot be considered a corporation. But anyway, the main thing is, if you want to get the people out of the prison system, the highest level to deal with that would be at the government level. In other words, you have to, again, deal with the law and to formulate amongst yourselves a government so that you can be recognized as a people. That way, the United States, even though it is a corporation, but it, along with the rest of the nation of the earth, must also recognize you as a sovereign people with your own government, with the Constitution du jour, et cetera. This is the best way to get your people out of the prison system. Now, this is founded on Noble Dralee was the very first one to do that, and he did it with his forerunner, Brother Marcus Garvey, who was a Jamaican national.
Mm-hmm.
But Marcus Garvey, who was locked up for whatever mail fraud or whatever they crime. The crime doesn't matter, and let me point that out, too. It doesn't matter about the offense, and I'm going to give you that record in a second, okay? What the offense that they say you did, the first crime was committed against you by what they call denaturalization. So what happened with Marcus Garvey, they blamed some kind of offense on him and put him in a federal prison in Atlanta. Well, Noble Dralee, when he went to go get Marcus Garvey out of there, they let him know that, well, Marcus Garvey was not Jamaica, although he was Jamaican national, but Jamaica was under the British rule. And so, therefore, it was not a sovereign power. It had no government of its own. So, therefore, there was no place for Marcus Garvey to return to. But he was also, Marcus Garvey, he was also educated within Britain. A lot of people didn't know that. And so they came to an agreement in order to satisfy the international rule of government that Noble Dru Ali had brought to their attention, similar to the Armistead thing that you had mentioned about a little earlier on your program. Mm-hmm. What they had to do was say, well, who has jurisdiction over Marcus Garvey? And it turned out that the United States did not have jurisdiction because he was not a Negro. He was not a black person, okay? He was a Jamaican national that they had brought under their criminal auspices as a person. And as a result of that, they agreed to deport him to Britain, okay? And him and Marcus Garvey, Noble Dru Ali and Marcus Garvey later met the next year down at Havana, Cuba, at the Pan American Conference in 28. But this was a very glorious occasion, but it led us, myself, to say, well, what is it that Noble Dru Ali used? What kind of laws did he use to free Marcus Garvey from under the Roman yoke and law, the federal prison system? And so I went about the business. This is in the early 70s, around 72, 73. And by the time 75 rolled around, I was able to get people out of jail. Okay?
Okay.
And, I ended up with about 32 brothers out of the different prison systems. Two of them were on death row, and three of them had double life sentences. The significance of this was that the with this kind of sentencing, I'm just giving you that to say, to let you know that it does not matter about the crime that they say that that the United States said you are convicted of, or the state said that you are convicted of. No more individual or person, if you will, is locked up judiciously within the states, the sovereign states of the United States. Not one, okay? And the reason why, because the very first crime was committed against the Moor, meaning from the time the person was born then and was given a birth certificate, that particular person was then committed to a perpetual life of slavery from the womb to the tomb, meaning that the United States actually owned the individual. He has or she had no mother, no father, no parents, because they became instant property of the United States through the birth certificate. The birth certificate, this, there was a law they passed, they made it official in 1921, called the Maternity Act, and whereas that the all the children become as federal children. And under the Paternity Act of 1921, they were denationalizing all African African descended children descendants of Africans that was born in the within the states of the United States were instantly denationalized. Now, what the denationalized mean is that their true identity was then taken away, dissolved, not brought forth, whatever, okay? And a slave label was placed on them on the birth certificate, meaning if you look at the birth certificate, it got a couple of things on there that you really should, because a lot of Moors want to get rid of the birth certificate. Never do that. Don't never get rid of the smoking gum. That's the proof of the crime, okay? In other words, you got, what's on the birth certificate? Okay, Negro, black, and color. That's going to be
on
it.
I got mine right in front of me now, and I'm looking at it. It says Office of Vital Statistics, State of Florida, certified live birth. And next to race, it says color or race, it has colored.
Okay.
And what my mother's signature is, right above it, it says informant. and it has the stamp of the state of Florida on it. My name on the birth certificate is in upper and lowercase letters. And everything else, the time the certificate was issued after I was born on July the 8th, the certificate was signed on the 9th in the year 1953.
Okay. Well, what they did from that point on, they actually, when you see the state seal, in this case Florida, state seal of Florida, this means that this was an enactment that Florida used from the permission of the Congress of the United States under the 14th Amendment to denationalize you as a person, meaning commercial property, and to place you just like any property that you have, no matter, it could be a pet, it could be a car, it could be a house, a lawn, or whatever, you have the title or you have the authorization to name that property or that whatever you want to, okay? You can call it Negro, Black, Colored, whatever you want to call it, because it's yours. And this is what is called denationalization. Well, denationalization is a very international high crime internationally. I mean, it ranks up there with genocide and treason. It's a terrible to denationalize any member of the human family. The United States was fully aware of this denationalization law, okay, I mean, from the very get-go, but they had never been without its slaves, so they had a habit through the greed to denationalize the people, okay? But the significance of this is that when it comes down to the crimes that they accuse this same baby of doing that was born, and they later, the baby is coming up now thinking that it is something that it is not. It's thinking it's a black child, a little black boy, a little black girl, a little Negro child, and it's going to live the life accordingly. Okay? It was made into property. It thinks like property. It goes to school and taught that it's property. PS number 143, whatever the case would be, public school. And everything about it, from the time that it learns how to walk, talk, everything. And so when it comes down to these little crimes, it stole a car, robbed a bank, whatever the case would be, then they say, oh, he's a felon, she's a criminal, she did this. No, because why? They were thinking like a criminal from the very get-go. Why? Because the free national status had been removed. So the crime, and we're talking law now, okay? The crime, the first crime was committed against the individual from the time they was born, shortly after, and placed into the Bureau of Vital Statistics of that special state for safekeeping, okay? So it didn't make any difference how old or how long the child lived, 25, 50, 80 years old, 100 years old, that was a life of a slave. It was a slave the whole life, okay? No matter what it called itself, it called itself a Christian, a Mason, a professor. It didn't make no difference what it called itself. Eastern Star, it was still a slave. And that is why when it comes down to how can you release the so-called African-Americans and Negroes and let's call it nationless Moors, okay? But how can they be released from this terrible doom? And there's only one way to do that and do it lawfully, and that is they must free themselves by formulating themselves into a government. Okay, this is what is required by the United Nations, all the other nations of the earth, Geneva, Egypt, everywhere. We the ones set this law up, okay, that you formulate amongst yourselves a government and prove to the world that you are a sovereign power. And that's what a government is. A government represents sovereignty. There is no such thing as individual sovereignty. I'm sovereign. I'm indigenous. You're a liar. Because what you going to do by yourself? As soon as somebody put a pistol in your mouth, there goes your sovereignty right there. But under a government, you've got the protection and the guidance and education and the power of all things. You've got the power that is duly ordained by a nation of people. So what my recommendation is tonight, although the method that we use to free the brothers out of the different prison system from 1975 up to, 87, I think, 88. Maybe a little later than that now, think about it. But anyway, I couldn't tell you right now where, it's only one that I know for sure where he's at. And that's because he died. But all the rest of the other 31, I don't know where they are. They're not a part of this government. They're not trying to help free the people. They're not putting no love out there. And so that's why we brought an immediate halt to it. Said, well, look, the best thing to do with this, these lessons and these laws is to free everybody. Just free the whole nation of people. And then once you got your freedom, and this is what I do with my own children. I got a couple dozen children. And I let them say, look, as a father, I did what I was supposed to do. I gave you your freedom. Now, what you do with that freedom is on you. If you want to go and rejoin the church and wave a handkerchief in a big hat and holler hallelujah to Jesus Christ, that's on you. That's not on me. Because you can do that right now. But once the government is in place and the concentration camps are swole up, then what you going to do? When the chattel cars on the railroad is all filled up with shackles and chains, what you going to do then? And that's the next move. So the thing I could tell your audience, Brother Bay, is to come on home. Take responsibility of being a government, freeing yourself as a nation of people, bearing one free national name. Get away from the foolishness and from the okey-dokes. That every nation of people got one free national name. A lot of the Moors, they play mind games with themselves, and they start calling themselves all kinds of things. I mean, instruments and great seals and all kinds of strange names, and none of it means anything. If you want to be Bobo the Clown or Bobo, it doesn't matter. At least right now, be a Morris American with your own government. Get free. Then if you want to go back and say, I'm Bobo the Clown, then fine. But at least you are free to do that. But right now, choices are for the free. Right now, you don't have a choice. Okay? Free yourself first, then you have the option. You have a choice. So if you wanted to come out and get your brothers and sisters out of the prison, there is not. If you got your own government, and on page in my book that you just spoke about, The Exhumation of a Nation, Noble Dwali, on page 167, I've got, it's called the United States Prisoners Treaty, Transfer Treaty. And the United States has, on its federal system, it has treaties with virtually every country, most of the European, all the European countries, but virtually every country on earth except the African countries. And there's a reason for that. Okay? Transfer treaty means this. If you were a descendant or born of, say, this, I don't know, say Holland. I can't think of nothing else right now. Just say Holland. And you committed a crime in the United States, then there's a treaty between the United States and Holland where they could actually transfer you to a Holland prison or at least to the Holland territory, no matter what the office is, okay? But you don't find that existing for the Moors. There is no transfer treaty. Although the Moors are cloud. We got a treaty with a peace and friendship with Morocco. Morocco, we got a treaty with the United States. Slaves don't write treaties. We were slaves when that treaty was written. That treaty was about Moors, not for Moors. Okay? It's about trade and commerce. The same thing the United States is using for today. Trade and commerce. Personal. Okay? So there's only one way out of this Brother Bay, and that is to formulate amongst yourself, which is quite lawful, quietly, and quite necessary, to formulate amongst yourself a government with your own constitution, free yourself and your people. That way you own your own children. Mothers can be mothers, fathers can be fathers. In fact, a man can be a man, and a woman can be a woman. Did you know that you can't even be a man or a woman if you don't have a nation to claim as your own? That's the fact. Mm-hmm. Every man and woman you know of right now, they got the Olympics coming up. Different countries represented. Oh, the man, this, the woman, that. But guess what? There's a country or a government that's protecting them and representing them. Or they represent the country, okay? So you run around talking about, I'm a man. No, I'm sorry. You're still property until you come together, formulate your own government, and free yourself as a people. We're the only people on the planet that's not a nation. The only people. That's sad. With all this electronic age that's going on now, Facebook, Twitter, and television and things, and you still ain't got the message that you're the only one that ain't a people? There's something wrong with you. It's time to wake up and assume the responsibility of being yourself. And we got everything we need to be a people. And if we talk about money, oh, man, you can't even count the money that's coming to you. Anyway, that's what I got to say. I'm not probably talking too much.
No, you. I want you to lay all this thing out. And I'm going to go back and remind all the new listeners that come in. We want to encourage you to go to the www.moorishamericangov.org, and I'm going to type that into the chat room and go ahead and register. And I want to encourage you to examine that entire site. Read everything. Look at everything there. And it's very important for you. After you have done that, you have put your information on the census, and your family information on the census, your children, your mother, your grandmother, your uncles, your aunts, niece, and cousins, and everybody there. You want to dial into the national conference calls that's held 7 days a week at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that number is to dial. Is 760-569-7100, and the access code is 437966 pound, and that's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that happens 7 days a week. And the Grand National Chairman is the author of two books, Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, and also the Book of Ali. Both books are very, very powerful. And they are vital instruments. And I reading this material, I know it had to be a divine intervention in this work. And it had to come at a time when it is needed. And it is vital for us to get a hold of this information and to begin to study it so that we can go head on and be in line with the prophecies that the prophet Noble Drew Ali has laid out already for us. This thing is already laid out. The train is in the station, and let us make sure that we are prepared to get on the train. Also, I want to bring up again, for those of you who are new or who just tuning in, we are offering our free articles as usual. We no longer have the Yahoo account. We got under some kind of little cyber attack there, and they hijacked that information. So, for those of you who are desirous to get my free articles, just contact me, Tahaka, at area code 904-303-9061, and I'll get that to you. If you want to get access to this library so you can continue to study and your children can study, and so that you can continue to unloose the bands from your mind, you just simply contact me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we get that to you. And don't forget the Law Dictionary for those of you who are diligent in your studies and stuff. We have Volume 1 through 9 available, John Bouvier's Bloomberry Ballantyne's Law 3rd Edition, the Oxford's Dictionary, as well as the Essentials all in one. And so you just in order to get any of these things, just contact me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at area code 904-303-9061. Okay, Grand National Chairman, I'm going to go on to the next question. And I went back and I done what you said. I listened to you on one of the previous conference calls when you had mentioned the movie Amistad. And I got a hold to the movie, and I watched the movie, and I end up finding myself going to bed at night for almost a week in a row, watching the movie over and over and over. And I finally got the point. And but what I would like for you to do involving this question, could you tell us the most vital points of what that movie Amistad was all about, and what does it mean to us today?
Oh, yeah. The one thing about Amistad is that the master word involving the Amistad, should I say, decision, which it was a Supreme Court decision, is jurisdiction. And although it was portrayed in the movie, give us free, this kind of thing, but the significance of the whole thing is that who owned who, okay? There was a period of rebellion on a slave ship in which the slaves rebelled, and they killed all the crew except for the captain and a mate. And they sailed out there for a while until they end up around New Hampshire somewhere, whatever the case may be. But anyway, the Spaniards of Spain tried to claim this cargo, okay, of Africans. Cuba, which was another slave-breaking island, tried to claim. Naturally, the United States, but having slave in its constitution, they tried to claim the lost cargo, okay? And but upon investigation, they filed what was called an averment of jurisdiction. And when they did that, it froze the court and demanded that it be proven by the prosecution who was it that had actual jurisdiction over the so-called cargo, the whole shipload of African brothers and sisters and babies and what have you, okay? And they was to prove that this was what the averment did. It froze the court, and it got all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court had to come to the decision, and they got letters from Spain and naturally, it's in the nature of the European to lie anyway. There was lies everywhere. Everybody trying to prove that it was theirs, although the closer they proved it was theirs, the more it came to surface that the West African slave trade was an illegal institution.
Okay.
And they had to be real careful how they went about that. And the bottom line is, at the what was all said and done, they had to go back to their basic principles. And when they proved that, wait a minute, they don't even speak our language. They don't speak Spanish, so we didn't know they ain't from Spain. They don't speak the language of people in Cuba or the United States. So therefore, no one has can place a claim or have jurisdiction over them. And so when it was proven that they used a translator, and it proved that they was from the west coast of Africa,
okay,
and they were to return to the west coast of Africa. Like so, we are in the same situation. We have got, it's a matter of filing an averment of jurisdiction, but you got to know who you are. You can't file a verdict of jurisdiction in the courts of the United States or to the Supreme Court or to the United Nations or the Hague, for that matter. And then you want to say, well, you are, and you prove you're a non-existent people. Well, I'm the Wabi and I'm Wachita. I'm this, I'm that. That sounds good around here. But when it comes down to proving that 60 million of us, is that who we are? because slave, the institution of slavery, brought us together as one people. Okay? Although Drew Ali said, well, we come from the northwest, southwest, and south of Africa. We understand that some of us are here all the time. In fact, we were the one that drove the ships over here that brought Columbus and the rest of the mobsters, okay? But when it comes down to filing the vermin of jurisdiction, you have to be ready to prove who you are on the record, okay? And you must have what is known as a descendant nature, okay? You got to prove who your forefathers were yesterday. That's who you are today. That's why we use the term Moorish, because the term Moorish derived from a committee of Hamathites, Moabites, and Canaanites. When you put all three of these together, and these are the fathers of the human family, then you have the term Moorish. And we are the ones that founded and developed countries and kingdoms like Tunis, Tripoli, Algiers, Morocco, Ghana, Nigeria, Algeria, the Congo, so forth and so on, okay? Mm-hmm. All these, this is our stuff, our people, our land. But you can't get it if you're using other names because people don't know. You can't claim it as a, with all due respect, as a Nawabian. Because Nawabians don't own Northwest, Southwest Africa. We do. The Moors do. That's why we had the one free national name of Moorish American. Moorish because of the descendant nature, and American because of your indigenous status. You own all of it. We own everything west of Egypt. I mean, from Egypt to the Hawaiian Islands. And that means we use the Atlantic Ocean for a face bowl. We own all of it. Okay? So that's the Moorish Empire. Morocco didn't even get the flag, the star in the flag, until 1403. Then had the nerve enough, less than 100 years later, turn their back on their own citizens and start the West African slave trade by 1492. You tell Moors today, especially those in the Moor Science Assembly, they waving the Moroccan flag. Whoop-dee-doo. And these are the same people that turned their back on us and sold us into slavery after stealing our star. And we are the only people on earth that can demonstrate the five-pointed open star. The only people. There's a lot of countries that got the five-pointed star, but every last one of them is closed except ours. Ours is the only one that's open because we are the gods of the human family. Gods and goddesses, that's who we are. I took off again, didn't I, Mo?
That's all right. We need this jet to take off. The train, too. I have a guy in the some questions in the chat room here. And one of the questions from is how do we get past the fictitious biblical references in regards to freeing ourselves as a nation?
Well, I hope everybody's sitting down with this one, because it all do respect, act like it ain't there. Because the Bible was the very first book that was used to enslave you in the first place. I use the term handcuffs, okay? You can polish handcuffs, you can whatever you want, but you can't change the nature of handcuffs. They're designed to do one thing, and that's to restrain, okay? And anytime you use handcuffs, that's what it's going to do. Mm-hmm. It's in the nature of handcuffs to restrain. All right. So look at everything that has enslaved, that was used to enslave you, no matter what it was, where it was, or who it was. If it was used to enslave you, it was handcuffs. You want to try to use the same thing in your course of freedom. So put the Bible on the side and anything else that slavery, let it go. You got, in fact, I'll go so far as to say, them Arabs, what they call the demonstrating Islam, So that's another thing to take our people off. Oh, I'm a Muslim. We got to face the Kaaba. Look, that's not true Islam. That's not what the way we taught Muhammad. And he was taught by an Egyptian at that mass. They call him the Angel Jibril. We did not teach Muhammad to face no rock five times a day looking for Allah. That's not the way. They say the nearest place to meet the great God was in the heart, the place that's most dearest unto you. Okay? I had to emphasize when it comes to the Bible, and sometimes even the Quran, not the Quran itself, because the Quran is pure, but those that interpret the Quran, let it go. Those are the same Muslims that had the Quran behind their back when they were selling us into slavery. What good can Saudi Arabia do for you now? Let them go. You got enough power within your heart, within yourself, within the United States to do everything you need to be a people and to free yourself as a people. You don't need the Quran. You don't need them Arabs. You don't need none of that, the Bible, none of that stuff. You got your own holy book and your own prophet anyway. Born right here from among, just like it's always been. So the thing that I'm most concerned about at this level is the fact we will be calling out a mass unity meeting for all the Morris entities, no matter who they are, including Morris Science Temple groups. Okay, Ouachita, Nuwabians, ISIS, Great Seal, it doesn't matter, okay? We'll be calling a mass unity meeting in the very, very near future. I mean, it's a matter of weeks, okay? And that way, you'll know exactly who's who, okay? Because those that don't come together to save ourselves, they will be dealt with at the point of a sword, and we don't have swords. Okay?
Okay. Well, now, I think you made that perfectly clear, and I think that was a very, very good answer. It was something that I've been afraid to tackle for a long time because I didn't want to stir up that, but it's been said and it's out there, and that's just the bottom line. I got the other day I went to the grocery store, and on the way to the store, there's a little clump of stores around the corner from the house, and I seen the little little Asian guy getting ready to go in the store, and I stopped him and I asked him, I said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure." I say, "Were you born in the United States?" He said, "No, I was born in South Korea." And I say, "In South Korea, do they issue y'all birth certificates when you're born?" He said, "Yes." I say, "Well, on the birth certificate, do I have your race listed?" He said, "Yeah." I say, "What do you have listed on your race?" He said, "South Korean." I say, "He said Korean." I say, "Okay, okay." And I said, "Thank you very much." And because I have never gotten a chance to talk to anybody outside the United States from another country to see what they had on their birth certificate. But I know that I have seen many birth certificates from people inside the United States of African descent, and they all have the same thing. So we really have something in our hands here that has been done to us, and like you say, it is a smoking gun. But now, back to the unity thing. When it comes to, this is my understanding of it. When it comes to getting our loved ones out of prison, do you think that we should go at the best way to go at this is from a national standpoint? And if so, could you bring that point out again?
Okay, when you say a national standpoint, then the root word for national is nation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you become yourself a nation of people, bearing one free national name with your own government, you know, there's not a prison door in the whole of the United States that's not at your disposal to open. They got to open every last one of them. It doesn't matter what the offense is, what the crime is. Now, we also realize, I think Richard Pryor was the one that said, thank God for penitentiary, that some of our people are so messed up mentally that mm-hmm. all the, you know, help in the world, you know, bring it through the chakras and everything, it ain't going to help them. They're just gone. But that won't be the first time this happened. But for the majority, I dare say a good 98% of our people, their mind can be purified and rectified. So it doesn't matter about what kind of mentality, or should I say a Western psychic that they have, or mental slavery that they have, they can overcome that. And we can help them through that. Okay? So as far as the prisons, opening up the prison doors, the only way to do that is with a nation of people. Now, you can do it on an individual level and fight all day. I've been successful with it with individuals. However, the thing about it is that we got a thing out here now called, let me take that back. The United States has some things out here now called paper terrorism. They're about tired of us fighting and beating them up with their own laws. And so they call it terrorism, okay? And they're not treating the Moors too well once they call you frivolous and some other names and abusing their law or making them look silly with their own laws. Especially when they look behind you and find out you ain't got no government, no free national name, and no nation to back you up with. You out there by yourself talking smack. Then slap the lion in the mouth with bloody red meat, and you stand there with no drawers on. Tell me he better not bite you. He ain't got no jurisdiction over you. He got jurisdiction over everybody that's not a government. The only thing a government respects is the power and the sovereignty of another government. That's why you never find a government in the courts of another government. Never once would you ever see that.
Hmm. Okay, we got a caller on the line now, and I'm going to open up the call, the line. And keep in mind, if you all have questions and comments, right now is the time to go ahead and hit your phone, follow the props on your phone, and we can get these questions answered here today. But in my opinion, I think the minister had laid it out for us. I'm going to open up this line here, area code 229. Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from, brother? What's your question?
Justice L. Bay calling from America, Georgia. It's a blessing to all on time. Praise Allah, honor Prophet Noble Dr. Ali. Dr. Edwin M. Pleasant Bay, sir, so many people have been hearing about this class action lawsuit. What would you say to those who are gathering up people and groups, individuals who are gathering up groups of people and taking it upon themselves to go and file this lawsuit? Could you please give them a little advice and some instruction on so that they can prevent from getting themselves locked up?
Well, that's the reason why I'm speaking about the government at this stage. There was a time that you could very easily go ahead and move as far as freeing individuals out or even filing a class action. You can still file a class action, okay? The only thing about it is that you don't want to do it in such a manner that you ain't got no backup. Second, we encourage everyone, before you file a class action lawsuit to free a bunch of people or to make the United States pay for what they've done to you, then you better be prepared, because you've got some others that has really ticked off the United States, and this is not a good time to tick somebody off, and you ain't got no backup. So what I would recommend everyone to do is to come together, use your, as Dwelly said, to think, just think. He said if he could just get you to think, and you saved yourself. So And just come together. Have enough love in your heart for yourself, and then you'll see the love in your brother and sister. Stop talking about each other so much. You know, it's like two inmates in the prison cell arguing about who's going to sleep on the top bunk. Meanwhile, the prison door is open. The warden left in 1865, and the penitentiary wide open. But they still are arguing over about who's going to sleep on the top bunk. That's how Moors sound talking about each other.
Yes,
no backup. So that's what I would recommend you do, is come together. Forget about it. any kind of lawsuit right now. I really wouldn't deal with it right now. I know we have a great love for. I've got sons in the penitentiary. I could get them out. Sons. I mean, my own, the ones that I fathered, but they went another way. And so right now, my whole concern is us as a nation of people. We come together. I can get them out and anybody else for that matter. Okay. So it's not me sacrificing them. It's time for my people to wake up. Why should I get my sons out and the rest of the nation stay in prison? That don't make sense.
Okay. You got another question, brother?
Yes, sir. What would you tell the people who saying that they're going to get their group together anyway and use the March American government name?
Well, best thing I
can away against the rules. Of this
anything government. Belong to the March American government, we are the only source of freedom for our people. I suggest that they step out behind the barn and first and see what's back there before they do that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, brother. I'm going to go ahead and mute your mic and go to the next caller. Thanks for you dialing into the broadcast.
Thank you, sir. Peace.
Okay, we're going to area code 904 right here in Jacksonville, Florida, in Florida here. Area code 904, could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment? Area code 904. Get no response there. Okay, area code 731. Area code 731.
Good evening, brothers.
Good evening.
Good evening, Brother Pleasant Bay. This is Dr. Ema Sarah, a.k.a. the Pie Lady. How are you?
I'm just peaceful. You say a.k.a. who?
The Pie Lady.
Okay. Okay.
I thought that was your voice I heard, and... It's good to hear you. I was wondering where you are. Are you still in Memphis?
No, I'm in Virginia now.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm still on the front line.
Oh, I know. You know, I was listening to what you were saying about your sons. I also have incarcerated family members. And, you know, that was really peaceful, and we have to consider if people are not ready to get back, they're just going back. It's just a waste of energy. And you're a very wise man and, you know, should listen, because I was, you know, going to some classes and I was thinking, the way I saw people acting and reacting, totally oblivious of what this whole purpose is, you know, and just acting like greedy. You know, and you'll have the same thing with this, you know, within the sovereignty. So I was just, you know, just blowing me away. And nobody wants to listen, and everybody's trying to lead, and, you know, and it's all about the dollar bill. And, it just really takes away from the cause and the mission. So I'd like to hear what you have to, you know, to say on that, because, you know, you're on the front line and you do all this hard work. And then you have beings coming up misrepresenting and, you know, tainting the message. So I appreciate if you speak on that.
Okay, for one thing, when it comes down to the denationalization process, the United States through the, not just the World Bank, but also the Lords of London and other places where they've got our reparations and other money stored. The thing about it is that each war is virtually guaranteed up to about $30 million for every year that they have been denationalized, which is a criminal act by the United States and the state where they was born. However, there has always been, throughout the history of slavery, and Africa's created slavery, throughout the history of slavery throughout the world, there's always been rich slaves. But they were still slaves. Having money and being a slave doesn't free you. So if you want wealth, and truly, then you must be a free person, number one, okay, and show the descendant nature, number two. That way you can actually keep what you got. So what we are encouraging Moors to do, especially here within the confines of the Western Hemisphere, is to put it down, put everything down that may interfere with your loving each other and coming together as a people. No matter, it could be no matter what the religion, what the God is, what the car, the money, the where you live, it doesn't matter. Lay it down and come together and formulate yourself as a people, and you'll be amazed at what's going to happen after that.
That's powerful, you know. But the grief factor seemingly, you know, always get in the way, and you know, people that were pure in heart, then they become disillusioned because it's just another game. And you know, I just think it's horrible that freedom fighters like yourself, you know, out on the front line for the people with the pure love, and then you raise up individuals and they take it and they twist it and manipulate the people, and they become disillusioned, so they sit back on, they get them out of the game. But I guess it's part of the game to immobilize us as you're trying to build and somebody's coming tearing down because they take the true and pure essence of what you're teaching and turn it around for their own, you know, greed and gain. So the people say, whew, you know, and then they're gone.
So do you have another question?
No, that's all I wanted to say, and it's good to hear you, brother.
No, thank you.
Okay, we're going to go on to area code 904 has come back with us. Area code 904, could you tell us who you are, where you're calling, and what's your question and comment? Area code 904. Area code 904. Okay. All right, we'll go to the next one now. Area code 760. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question and comment?
Yes, sir. My name is Haru. I'm calling from California.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud.
I've been listening to the show and taking notes on what the brother was talking about. I have a brother that's incarcerated. He's actually serving double life under the three strike law out here in California. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
He's been studying law. Right, criminal law, civil law, them went through all the appeals processes, but it's been basically a sham, in other words. They haven't even heard his case on the merits or whatever, so now he's technically barred. But now he's studying business law, right? And I just wanted to know if there's a step-by-step process with the sovereignty game that would help him with his study so that he can do it right. You know, he's not in a rush to get out tomorrow, but he wants to do it right so that when he does, it's done correct with the right people.
Well, what he could do is I recommend the brothers do that's on lockdown all over the place. It doesn't matter about the offense, how much time you got. The thing about it is that you are, the best thing to do is to study law where that you can purify your own thought pattern so that you can be able to benefit. Because it's going to be, believe it or not, it's going to be the brothers that's on and sisters that's on lockdown that's going to become the new leaders of the Moorish regime.
Right.
So I encourage all of them to get your house in order first because you've got the time and the space. Study. Learn what it is to have a government. Learn the importance of our sovereignty. Learn what it means about a free national name. Study the Constitution. Get a hold of the book or something. Do something. Okay, because all that which it has been, it's not going to be anymore.
Right. No. He's doing that. He's taking, like I say, he's taking college courses on business law, and he's been operating in the courts with civil and criminal law, but the the Uniform Commercial Code is new to him. And far as the nation that you speak of, this is all new as well. So I'm just trying to figure out where I can point them in the right direction so that you don't spend a lot of years going in the wrong direction. Because I've been hearing about people getting arrested, making fools of themselves, arguing they're sovereign, but at the same time they're not being recognized.
Well, it's not going to help you a lot to master the slave master's language. I can tell you that because I've been on lockdown myself. And my first place, I spent more time in the law library than anywhere else. And I have no regrets about that. But I did know, find out one thing, that now that I'm a free man, being studying and mastering the slave master's language and his laws, you know, no. When you got enough laws of your own to not only free yourself, but all the rest of the nations of the earth.
Right.
United States laws, they, all they've done, if you really look at the United States laws, they have been the very laws that not only have enslaved everybody, including their own citizens, but their own government too. They lost, under their law, they lost their own sovereignty and became a corporation again.
Let me ask you this. Isn't it a paperwork game in order for to step away from the bond? Because I've been told that it's a bid bond, it's a payment bond, and a performance bond that they deal with these indictments and these complaints when they arrest people. And they give them the time. It's really a commercial game going on. But isn't there a paperwork to untie it?
Sure it is. But again, when you get to talking about the bonds, who is it that creates the bonds? Isn't that a government code? That's like the commercial code? When you get to talking about bonds, you got to talk about a power of a sovereign power of government. And the people that don't have no power at all is inmates and nationless people. They ain't got no power. Okay?
Right. So there's a... What's the correct way to study then?
The correct way to study? Study the self.
I understand studying self, but I'm saying in terms of unraveling the process to come from up under the life sentence.
Okay, I'll repeat this again. There is only one way, especially today. Yesterday, 20 years ago, there might have been a couple little ways you could have went. But there's only one way now, and that's to formulate amongst yourself a government and free all of your people at one time. That's the only way out.
Our prisoners,
that is going to do. Nothing short of that. I don't care how much you know about the commercial codes, the indigenous sovereignty, and the bond, the banks, none of that. Nothing's going to help you.
Are prisoners being welcomed into the Moorish American movement?
Man, that's number one. They're automatically counted for. That's the one people we don't have to count because we know where they are and how many it is, too.
Okay.
See, prisons, the United States does not have anything to do with your free national name, okay? Nothing. We are here to teach our people their true identity. That's our responsibility. That's your job. Okay?
Right.
And so it doesn't matter whether you're on lockdown or running around. It doesn't matter. Okay? The thing that bothers me the most is our people. We got too many people that think they're inmates and not realizing that they're supposed to be prisoners, that they're actually prisoners. A prisoner is one who's going to try to fight to get away from jail. An inmate is going to find a way to like to stay there because they like it.
Yeah. I agree with that. Do you have any contact information to where, you know, someone that's serious about it can get in contact with you so that they can build a little bit more and build right?
Oh, sure. Tahaka, Elvis, he'll give you all the information for my websites, books, and everything, okay?
All right. Thank you.
I put the website in the chat room, MoorishAmericanGov.org, and it contains all the access information, including the number to the national conference call, email directly to the Grand National Chairman is there, radio broadcast, previous radio broadcast that we've done is there, so there's access information there on me as well, and that is put into the chat room.
Okay, thank you.
All right, my brother. Peace.
Peace.
All right, we're going on to area code 716. We only have 44 minutes, so go ahead and y'all be brief so that we can get to everybody. Here we go.
Islam.
Islam. Who sells who you are?
Yamaya, Shalom. I had listened to the conference call, and once I heard you have asked a question on could you feed yourself, could you feed a nation, and I got in at the end of the conference call, but I've been trying to contact these women of the nation because I moved to Birmingham and I have a garden and I want to help out, you know, my nation. I have all this food. I overplanted because I'm a northerner. I didn't know, but I know now why I did it. And I have all this food and I want to share it. So, I don't have no responses back from the women of the nation. I keep on emailing, and I also emailed to ask a question about assignment. We signed up for being part of the government, and I wanted to know: are we supposed to get an email or anything back or any kind of response back? And those are my two questions, and that's it. Peace and love.
Okay, so
as far as the going to the website, the MorrisAmericanGov.org or the SevenSealsPublication.com, and you fill out the registration there. This is one of the commands that we received at the United Nations, primarily from the delegation from Geneva, Switzerland, for us to go back, formulate the State of Our Women and Children, in other words, formulate a government, and to create a tally. This is their term, tally. The definition for tally translates into a census.
Okay.
So when you register, the Prophet Noble Dwali says that you proclaim your nationality before the government in which you live. So what
okay.
we did, we formulated a registration, which is a census. It's a head count.
Okay. Okay.
Don't
like
receive a whole
book.
Lot of anything in return
okay.
as far as you registering. A lot
all
of
right.
people say, I want a nationality card. I want this, I want that, you know.
Oh, no. I wasn't looking for nothing like that. Just wanted to find out, you know, exactly. Because I'm not the computer person. My daughter does that part. But my most concern was about all this food I have in my garden. And if I'm going to be part of the nation, I feel responsible for helping feed my fellow Moors that live in Birmingham, and I haven't been able to find out any that live here because I just moved here. And I called you, I think, once before, and I left another email about that, trying to get other Moors numbers that live in Birmingham area. You know, so I can at least try to help them. I help all the elders around me, but it's still even too much for them. You know, so
I'll help you out, sis. my wife Aisha is there. She's right now contracted in Birmingham. Okay?
Oh, right.
And I've got several other people there. Brother Mars Mormonell and his family there. Oh yeah. Oh, they eat. Yeah, you got the food. They got the mouth. Okay.
Okay.
Just make sure you got my phone number or my email address, either way, okay?
Okay, say it one more time.
Phone number.
I'm a woman of a nation. Always send
Hotmail.
An email there.
Okay, well, do that then. ExumanOfANation@hotmail.com. And I'll take it from there. Remind me who you are.
All right, then. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Okay. All right. We have 41 minutes left. And I'm going on to the next caller. Area code 904, last four numbers 6502. Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from and what's your question? 904. Last four numbers. Okay, we're going to the next caller, area code 954.
Hi, this is Janet. I'm calling from Miramar, Florida again. My question is, approximately how long is the registration process at the Moorish Nationality, Moorish American Gov? How long is that process? Because if I want to attend the conference calls, do I have to be registered first?
Oh, no, sis. Uh-uh.
Okay.
No. No, you attend the conference call all you want to. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So that was my question. I just needed to know, did I have to be registered first?
Nah, uh-uh.
Okay.
In fact, you ain't got to be paying for nothing except for some literature.
Okay.
Don't let them tell you nationality card, nothing, none of that, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any more callers out there? If you got any questions, go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll go ahead and recognize you, and we'll get you in here so you can ask your questions. And while we have the Grand National Chairman here, I'm going to give you this number one more time. For those of you who are trying to access the Hawkins Library, you'll have to call me at area code 904-303-9061. Before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we get you in there. And as far as the national conference call, one more time, that number to dial at 760-569-7100, and the access code to dial is 437-966, and then you hit the pound key. Now, when you do that, they're going to say who's calling, and you state your name and where you're calling from, and you hold on and you will and listen, because you will have Moors that come in from all over the United States. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because I get a lot of calls from Moors, and they want to know if there's anybody in their area, and I don't have the numbers to everybody access that information. So the best way to do that is to dial into the national conference call, and during the question and answer period, you get a chance to talk to the Grand National Chairman, or you can email him at exhumingofanation@hotmail.com, and he can get you in contact with Moors in your immediate area so that you can have someone to work with and associate with and communicate with. And for a long, long time here in Jacksonville, Florida, I was by myself. But, you know, I guess sometimes I think I'm just oddball. It didn't bother me. I was just doing what I had to do, because I had recognized a problem. And I was going through all kind of stuff, and, you know, created my own tag, put it on my truck, created my own ID. And I bought me a Fez and got out there on the street, and me and the man went around and around. And then after a while, I noticed that me and the Popo were riding bumper to bumper, and they ain't stopped me no more. And because it was brand new down here. But then they began to start the sovereign movement come in, and we got the Moors educating Europeans by doing the documents and stuff and all in the courts and all this right here. So things have changed. So in order to get a hold and communicate and contact one another, you want to dial into the national conference call. It's held 7 days a week, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 760-569-7100, access code 437-966 pound. And to get a hold of the books, and in my opinion, these books are vital. Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, as well as the Book of Ali. These are vital books for your education that's available to you, and you simply go to MoorishAmericanGov.org, and there are other books that are there that is just as valuable that's available to you as well. Now, Grand National Chairman, I'm going to go on to my next question, and I think we pretty much covered the situation as it's laid out. But for one more time, and for those who have come in late, could you tell us what should be our priority as a people in this nation? I mean, what is the number one thing that we should be concentrating on doing right now? Because most a lot of us, and I have to put this question back out there, because I'm called every day, all day long, and the Moors, they, you know, and I hear from them, and they're telling me about their immediate circumstances, and we try to work on getting these things solved and stuff, but and I also try to stress the national concerns. So could you go through that and tell us that one more time for all the new people that's come in?
Okay, let me this time I'm gonna do it from another angle, okay? The United States is your standard typical government. What a lot of people don't realize is that just in case there is some civil strife, some civil disobedience, or some civil upheaval or whatever that takes place within the United States, and it's very easy to do. Very easy to do. I mean, look at Trayvon, the brother down in Florida, okay? Just as an example, it almost created a situation nationally. But let's multiply that. Let's just say that it's Obama, okay? We're not calling anything out, but I'm just saying, all right? Then there's going to be a whole lot of civil unrest about it. The thing about it is that what a lot of people don't realize is that, do you know that when that takes place, the United States Constitution, all of it, is completely suspended. It's null and void. There is no president of the United States. That's gone. Okay? Mm-hmm. What takes place then is the military takes place. And Obama then becomes commander-in-chief of the military, which he's already that, but it's enforced. Okay? That's in case any kind of civil, there's a threat anywhere in the interior of the country. When I was speaking earlier about the Moors have here of the last 15, 20 years, mainly the last 10 years, Moors have been carrying on something. I mean, I get to notice all the time. Okay, state troopers, precincts, judges. And so I know what I'm talking about. And when they talk about this paper terrorism, this is a very serious situation. It doesn't mean that the Moors are wrong. It just means that the United States is a government, okay? And the government has this obligation to protect itself against any civil or any internal strife. Like so, this is why I'm trying to encourage the Moors to, this is really your last opportunity to get yourself together, save yourself as a people. Why did I say it's the last opportunity? Because all you got to do is look around. The economy is shot. They don't know what to do about this, that, or nothing. Okay? It's a very weak situation here in the U.S. of A. Okay? And it's time now for the Moors to pull themselves together. The United States does not have a responsibility to teach Morris Americans how to be Morris Americans. That's not their job. That's not their responsibility. And I thank God it ain't. Well, anyway, the thing about it is that I want to hit that side of it, this angle, because when we say that there's only one way to free your people out of the different prisons and jails and penitentiaries, they're saying it doesn't matter about the offense. Doesn't matter about the conviction or the charges or nothing. You can take the simple arrest record, look right there, and free anybody. That's the evidence right there. Look at this arrest record. Look at this stat. Here's a picture, fingerprints and a picture, but look at the description. Male, 5'11", 240 pounds, black man. Boom, that's freedom right there. But the thing about it is, free to do what? Okay? And go where with it? Where's your government at? Where's your power at? Where's your support? Okay? So that's why I say the only way to do this now is to come together as a people. You're not doing anything illegal. You're not, in fact, you're doing wrong by not doing it. This is what makes you real wrong, by not coming together with enough sense to realize, wait a minute, we're in trouble here. If we don't come together and love each other and pull ourselves together, save us as a people, free ourselves, save our children, our women and men as a people, then it's something wrong if you don't see the need. And you don't have to look at television long to know what's going on. So my answer to you is that with the power of your own government being recognized by the nation of the earth, what that gives you, you can open every prison door in the United States, every last one of them, and let the people out of there. Not only that, but let them out the pulpits, too. I'll leave that alone for right now. But that's what I got to say.
Okay.
You know how I am about the West Freemasonry, so don't get me started.
Well, we're going to open up that can of worms tonight, because I know we got 29 minutes. I wish I had an hour. I would say, tell us about that. But, we'll reserve that for a later broadcast. And I want to say I think we have covered a great deal of ground here this evening, and the lines are still open. So I'm encouraging you all now, if you have questions, go ahead and hit your phone and raise your hand. I'll recognize it. And we can go ahead and I'll let you in. I'm going back to area code 229. Area code 229.
Islam?
You're on the air. Islamo, let's go.
Yes, sir. Justice L. Bay calling from America, Georgia. It is I again, Grand S. Chim, my master teacher. Sir, we having groups that are getting together and claiming that they are citizens of the Marshall American National Government. Matter of fact, all over, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, and the several states up north. What would you say to those people? Because believe it or not, I believe some of them are online. So if you would, sir, what would you have to say to them?
Well, you can call what you will. Think about it is, sooner or later, like Dwali said, the time is going to come, you're going to have to prove that you are more. So we have the government. The government's in place, okay?
Yes, sir.
Officially, we got the Constitution, we got the law, and also we got the President of the United States on notice with the full military, because because we don't even have a pocket knife. But we do have weapons of mass destruction, though. It's usually above our neck, okay? So the thing about it is that those who want to go off and fleece the sheep and just bamboozle the lamb by pretending that they're something that they're not, you know, then all I can say is that the universe of karma, I don't think you want to deal with that at this level. I really don't. So I would encourage you not to do it. That's the best I can do. You know, I know you like them pretty pennies and the shiny nickels, but when it comes down to the life of your people and you're interfering with that, there ain't but one government and one way out of this, and this is it, talking to you. I'm not speaking about Pleasant Bay. Don't get it twisted. But I'm speaking about one government, one constitution, one God, one prophet, one book. Hey, okay? That's
yes,
what
sir.
I'm speaking. All right.
Master Teacher, if I may ask another question, please, Mr. Talk.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Thank you, sir. I'm not teaching I will be brief, just a portion. The Divine Constitution of Marshall America say that the Grand Chief and the Chairman empowered to make law and enforce law. Sir, with respect to you, may I speak about 30 seconds on the UCC, please, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Here's what I have to say to all of you who's online. The UCC, when it comes to Negro, Black, Color, Ethiopian, or African American, it is a trap. It is a trap. It has set you up. If you have a UCC, please put it down and claim your nationality, your divine creed, connect yourself to the family of the nation by becoming a citizen of the Marshall American National Government. and know that you got a God, the great God of the universe, Father God, Allah, and a prophet. If you want to follow something, not the UCC, come aboard and follow the prophet. All right? Peace and love.
Okay, peace and love, my brother. Okay, we're going to the next caller. We have 954.
It's Janet. Hi, it's Janet again from Miramar, Florida. My question is there any site that I can find to find some more, a Morris committee down in South Florida? Because I never heard of the Morris until maybe like 3 months ago. So I'm trying to know who to connect to down on my side.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Brother Shahid is down there.
I think he's in Orlando or Tampa.
Okay.
I think he's in Orlando.
Okay.
Because okay. I can probably get in contact with him, even though I'm about 300 miles from him. But I know I never hear anyone down past, I would say, West Palm Beach, down from that point down south. I haven't heard of any. So if I can have a website or his email.
Yeah, that's some more down in Miami.
Okay. Yes.
I'll get with the host and
okay.
And you know, giving the numbers to those who's in that area, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Grandmaster Chairman, you can just line them up and send them to me in an email. And sister, if you would call me after the broadcast or tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Give me your access information, and when I receive it from the Grand National Chairman, then I can forward it to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Now, if any of you have any further questions, now's your time. We still have 22 minutes left.
Because I got a baby that's crying on over there. Them children. Yeah, I can join with them in a minute now.
What that now?
No, I said the Morris children. It's their turn on. They got their conference call going on now. Nationwide.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Grand National Chairman, if you have to go in, it's okay. We certainly appreciate you. Being on here, and I think you have laid it all out for us. I mean, it's all been said, and we certainly appreciate you being on, and we'll get in contact with you later on.
Yeah, if you want to do another a program dealing with that Western Freemasonry, just let me know.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll go ahead and set it up, and we can call and get it scheduled, and I'll go ahead and post it and get it out there.
Okay.
All right. Well, peace.
You may not have a class after that one.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. We'll do that too. We're doing whatever it takes to free our people. And sometimes I be so tired I just had to lay down in the middle of the day because they wear me out. But anyway, we got to do what we got to do.
It's been a blessing, Lord. I appreciate you. You know, and we love you. Love the work that you're doing, and we love your audience. So any kind of way we can, any time we can help out, please just call on us. We're right here on the front line.
All right. Well, I
send a blessing. Peace.
Okay, peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just heard from the Grand National Chairman of the Morris American Government, and he has laid it out for us, the priorities that we as a nation of people should be concentrating on. In regards to getting our people out of prison. And I know we still have individual concerns about our loved ones, and we covered a lot of information in regards to that in our first broadcast. So if you have not listened to part one of this broadcast, it's already been done. You can catch it on my wall over at Facebook. And if you... of course, I stay banned over there. Anytime I click on two or three people as being a friend, then they shut me down for 30 days. So I can receive request for friendship. So you simply go there and type my name into the little top box up there, and that's Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and I'll send you friend request, and I'll go ahead and grant it. And the way you spell that is T-A-R-H-A-K-A, and then Amana is A-M-A-A-N-A, and then, of course, we have L-E-L and then B-E-Y. And send that friend request there. I'm there because that is where my people are. And if you grant me friend request, if you send a friend request, that way you'll be able to access the information and the educational materials that I'm posting there for you. It's being there done on a regular basis. There's tons of information inside the library to help you with your day-to-day circumstances. We try to follow the teachings of the prophet, which said, do not flash your identification or your ID card before the Europeans because it causes confusion. And the Europeans, we have to understand inside the United States also that in this country, it runs on a continuous series of contracts, what is labeled as contract law. And there are debtors and creditors inside the United States. And you only want to be a creditor. You don't want to be a debtor. And this information is placed inside of Tahaka's library. And the way to access that information so that you can use it is by contacting me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at area code 904-303-9061. And we can work on getting you in there. And you have circumstances with the sheriff's department. We have a situation where you got kids in school, and when they begin to communicate with truth against what is being taught to them, because the government does not want you and your children to be educated. They only want you to have information, and this information is not conducive to your freedom. Now, you can go and get your college education and get your high school diploma and all this stuff, and that's designed that they may teach you how to make a living, but they do not teach you how to live. And so we recognize these things, and I have put information in the library for you. Your husband and wife and niece and nephew and daughter and son and grandchildren and cousins and uncles and niece and everybody else to study, so that when you are being misinformed about something, you have something in right there as a defense mechanism, and you can also print these materials out. I was contacted by a young lady that told me her daughter is in a elementary school, and they was trying to put out all this information about history and stuff to the child, but it was not coinciding with what the child had been learning at home in my library. And anytime the teacher would say these things, the child would question them. And as a result of questioning them, she became labeled as disrupting the class. And so they would send her to the principal's office, and then they eventually would make her go out and pick up paper and, you know, treat her very, very badly. And so what we did was, after I found out about it, we got the child to go to the little shop, the little spy shop, and get the little recording devices with the little cameras on them and stuff, and wear it as a necklace. And we gave her a second little device that she wasn't supposed to lose, but make sure that any time she's presented with this type of falsehood, and it was rebutted, and she also would bring in information that she was able to print off out in the library as proof. When they began to mistreat her, we had evidence. And then we put together what's called a informal conditional letter of conditional offer and acceptance, which labeled the entire incident, which labels the problems and the liabilities and amount of money and damages that we were charging them. And also we had attached to it what's called a blast letter, which was put in the package, which contains all the information, including all the television networks and stuff that the letter would be sent to. And as a result of that, once they got that and found that out, then everything changed. And not only did it change, they began to treat the child nicely and begin to call the parents and apologize for their behavior. But by then, the parents were in a position to file a lawsuit because they had had the evidence. And so there are things that you can do in your immediate circumstances. But the major thing is that you have to understand that you cannot lose the sight of the fact that we have to act as a nation, just like the Grand National Chairman has said. I am a divine minister for the Moorish American government, and my job is to teach my people nationwide, and that's what I do, and I try to help them as best I can with their individual circumstances, but I always point them to the Moorish American government, the National Conference Call, because this is where your strength is. This is where your power lies. And once you understand how to use this thing and how to get close to what you have to get close to be recognized as a nation with one family name, which is Moorish American, and one the attributes of your forefathers. And this is what is important, because we've already been labeled as chattel and property and slave and all these things. But we have to follow the teachings of the prophet. He says, don't flash your identification before Europeans. In other words, don't run down in his court putting all this information in there about the Moors. And I'm a Moor, and you can't do this to me, and I'm sovereign, and I have filed this, and I have filed that. No, we don't do that. If we understand that, once again, the United States operates on a continuous series of contracts, this contract law, and also there's only two types of people in the country, and that's debtors and creditors, and there are certain ways that we can maneuver in the position, and but at the same time, we have a nationality. We're not Negro, colors, and black. We are Moorish Americans, and this is we have to learn how to separate the two, but at the same time have the power that we need to have. So the Grand National Chairman has gone on to his national conference call, so if there's anybody else that have any more questions, you can go ahead and raise your hand. We have 12 minutes and, left, and I'll go ahead and answer your questions now. And I want to point out I have just been invited to be a guest on another broadcast, and when we do that, we're going to post that on Facebook and Twitter and all the other places, and we'll give you the reminders leading up to that event, so you can come on. So this time I'm going to be the guest on someone else's show, and I don't know what they got waiting on me. I hope I can survive that thing. But anyway, regardless of what happened, you all can tune in and listen to the broadcast, and it will be held on Blog Talk Radio. Also, we want to make mention of the fact that I want to say thank you, and I'm proud of the Moors who have been following the information that's been laid out for you in the library and the information that's being broadcast to you on my radio broadcast. I hear success stories from all over the United States on a daily basis. I mean, you cannot imagine the stories that I hear and the successes from people that contact me in regards to the information that we put out and make available for them to deal with their immediate circumstances. So I want to encourage all of you, if you're listening to this broadcast and you do not have this library, I encourage you to contact me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the area code 904-303-9061. Get with your loved ones that's inside the prison and have them to communicate with them and find out what documents they have inside the prison and have them send this information to you. You make copies of it and send the originals back to them, because you have to remember also in this society, if no evidence, no case. No contract, no case. And so we want to gather all the evidence. All of us have birth certificates, and we have to remember that those of us who are out on the outside of the prison walls, we are victims of denationalization. But your loved ones on the inside, they are also victims of denationalization. But the best way to deal with this situation is to do it from a national standpoint, from the government, with a government behind you. If we do it that way, all of the prison doors will open. And so when you go to MoorishAmericanGov.org and you put your information on the census, you're counted. But you'll discover that when you call the national conference line, you are also counted again. They'll say who's calling, because you're registering. And what that shows government officials of the Moorish American government is that you are actively participating. You are active participant in your government. You have not come in January, put your name on the census, and matter, and maybe listen to dial in the one conference call and registered, and we didn't see you no more for another 2 years, and then you show up again and you register again. That's not what I call participation, not at all. This is your government. This belongs to you. For the first time in the history of the United States, you can be a citizen of your own government. If you just think about that, to me, that means so much to me, because I have never been a citizen of the United States, and it's impossible for me to be a citizen of the United States today, because there isn't a corporation on the face of this earth that can make anybody a citizen. But here we have the Moorish American government, the government, and this particular government belongs to us. It is ours. So if there's anything that I want to support, it's something that has the power to free me. I mean, we've had churches, and we got churches all over the United States. Sometimes you have two or three churches in a single block. If you come down my street, let me see, there's one, two, three. I got three churches in less than a quarter mile right here on my street. I can walk across the street to a church. I can walk to the left to a church. I can walk to the right to a church. And then we got two churches less than 100 feet from one another. But none of these buildings and churches are freeing us as a nation. We keep going through the same thing over and over and over. We go to the church on Monday. We go Tuesday, we go Wednesday, we go Thursday, we go Friday, we go Saturday, and then we go Sunday, and God forbid there's a European holiday that comes up. Oh, man, it's tight. But then after it's all over with, our nation is still in shambles. And I don't wanna, want you to think that I'm beating down Christians. I just want you to wake up. The prophet said, if I can just get you to think. If I can get you to think, if I'm going to give a donation somewhere, I'm going to give it to the government, because the government is the one who's actively involved in freeing me and freeing my loved ones from prison. You see, I can walk across the street
and go in the church across the street and give them my money and listen to a sermon. But as it's all over with, I'm still faced with the fact that my nation is still in shambles. There's nothing that is being done physically, government-wise, to free my people. And so I just use common sense. And I've been invited, but I didn't know. I'm not going in there. I have work to do because I'm dealing with my people on a daily basis, and I'm trying to help them on a daily basis, and because I've been put in the position to do that. It is my duty to do that, and I try to do it as best I can, and I deal with people all over the United States on a daily basis. From morning to night, day and night. There is no day that goes by that I don't speak to one of my brothers and sisters. There are no days like that. And that's good. I'm constantly, and I feel good about that because I when I lay down at night, I feel like that I have done something to contribute to the uplifting of my nation. But imagine, if we had 60 million more doing the same thing, we're virtually unstoppable. You're talking about wealth. If it is wealth that you want, it lies behind the government. It lies behind our unification with our government. It will be unparalleled in history when this thing happens and happens right. It'll be covered by every radio and television network on the planet. The whole world is waiting on you. All you got to do is wake up and say, well, look, this route I'm going. My priority is here. I'm going to do what I have to do here. When I pray, I'm going to include this in my prayer. The day is going to come when I'm going to expire and I'm going to leave the earth. But hopefully I'll leave a legacy or something behind where my people can continue on until they are free. And just like the brother on the Amistad said, he said, give us free. Because if you're free, then you can rest. Then you can you got peace of mind. If you free, you got people who have hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, but they don't have no peace of mind. Millions of dollars, and these are people of African descent, but they don't have no freedom. What? And I can't understand what good would it do me to have $1 million, but all the rest of my people is enslaved. How am I going to be free in my mind? How am I going to just rest and relax and just sit back and by some hook or crook everything going to be all right? It's not going to be all right. I can get $1 million and go to an island out in the South Pacific and then to be on that island all by myself, but I'm going to constantly be thinking in my mind, what about my nation? What's going on with my nation? Well, if any of y'all know me, well, I get a hold of $1 million, you know where the majority of the money will go to. It'll have to go to the government. Ladies and gentlemen, I certainly appreciate you all listening for this broadcast. And I hope we put these part one and part two in total perspective for you. You've been listening to Haka Amana El Bey with the Moorish American National Government as a divine minister. And we're coming to the close of this evening. We only have a few seconds left. And I thank you all for listening in. And stay tuned for our next broadcast that will be coming up shortly. And I'm going to go ahead and close on out. And I really appreciate you all. for being here.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war.